take. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, up, let me see you get loose. Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yesterday very well may have been the most interesting, exciting, and crazy day in NFL history.
Nathan, you and I was texting you as my Pro Football Talk timeline was blowing up, not only with signings, but trades. And it is safe to say that now, you figure 2003, I entered the NFL. It is now 12 years later. I have never seen anything like that, especially with the names that were moving yesterday. And I text you the same thing. Nobody is safe.
Nobody is safe. It clearly is a business. Jimmy Graham going to Seattle.
Insane. They want to get back to the bowl again.
And they gave up Max Unger, a good player who actually, that deal was precipitated by the Saints wanting Max Unger, the center, to come down to New Orleans. And they ended up giving rid of Jimmy Graham. I think it's a mistake. It's something that they will be regretting. I think going forward down in New Orleans. I don't think you trade a difference-making primetime player. I don't think you do that in his prime. I don't think you do that.
No, you don't.
That's exactly what they did.
And what's and if you look at the Saints roster, and I know that move was to get rid of, you know, some of their big money contracts and save because, you know, they don't have a lot of cap room. But if you look at that roster, besides Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham, you know, where's all their money tied up? Junior Gallette got a big deal, but where's that money tied up? So much so that they got rid of, you know, their number one playmaker.
Why would you do that? Makes very little sense to me. I don't think you trade, but that's what they certainly what they went ahead and they did. We saw Haloti Ngata, good riddance from the AFC North. Goodbye, going off to Detroit. And then we saw the quarterback swap. Foles, Bradford, conditional picks all around. Right now, you look at this team, Philadelphia, and people are mad about what the Browns are doing. But if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, this is what you've done. You took your quarterback who threw for 27 touchdowns and two interceptions in 2013. He's gone. Your leading rusher in the NFL in 2013, LeSean McCoy, he's gone. DeSean Jackson in 2013 had 1,332 yards, nine touchdowns. He is gone. Your leading receiver last year who had 1,329 yards and 10 touchdowns, Jeremy Maclin, he's gone. They're all gone from Philadelphia. Chip Kelly cleaning house.
Brandon Graham gone, correct, too.
Brandon Graham is gone. Trent Cole is gone. A lot of people are gone. Now, a lot has been made about what the Browns did or didn't do yesterday in free agency. I think some pretty outrageous commentaries have been put out there about what happened yesterday. This is a fan forum, so we certainly want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. And really the question I have is, what did you expect the Browns to do? Were the Browns interested in Foles and Bradford? Yes, the rumors are that they certainly were interested in Foles and Bradford. Did they get him? No. That trade was done between Philadelphia and, of course, St. Louis. Perhaps the Browns didn't have the ammunition. They didn't have a quarterback that they could put into that deal. And if you look at what was given up for Bradford, Foles, plus those picks, including one that could be a second rounder, if you didn't have a quarterback to give, I'd imagine it'd be a very high price to pay. And for a team that wants to build through the draft, that's not the way to go. So what would you have done if you were the Browns? Right now we know the Browns are linked to Brandon Browner, Parrish Cox, two cornerbacks that are coming in. Buster Skrine got over $6 million, six and a quarter a season. And they're already talking about signing Cromartie and making him a slot corner, which makes zero sense.
Zero sense.
But that's what they're talking. That's a very expensive price to pay for a slot corner. Who would you have wanted the Browns to get? I want to hear because a lot. It's easy. I see a lot of people criticizing, but I'm curious to hear what they would do.
Man. Absolutely. And again, the one thing, as we call for these phone calls and we want to hear from you at 216-578-0850, it's give us specifics. You know, don't be very broad. I like to see the Browns go after this position. Well, the names are out there. The names are moving. Give us specifics, you know, so we can tell you the who, what, the why, and why it either should make sense or could make sense and why it necessarily wouldn't. And for a lot of the fans out there, you know, they might tune into one source consistently for their news. Like, I'm a Pro Football Talk guy. You're a broad spectrum of everything on Twitter so that you can stay abreast to everything. You know, and sometimes that one source might not be legitimate. And in some cases, you just have to look at other sources to understand, you know, the full spectrum of why something happened for one team and why things might not be happening right now for the Browns.
I think that the Browns have said all along they were going to be judicious. What I would like to see, you know, Dan Williams is now gone, the nose tackle. I would like to see a nose tackle that comes in. I would like, you know, Terrence Knighton is still available. You can get maybe Kendrick
Ellis. He's visiting Washington.
I would like to see. That's where I'd like to see the Browns address that. And listen, I don't think there's anybody out there. We know free agency is fool's gold. We know that it is something you overpay people for. Darrell Revis is in his own category as a free agent. He's not a guy that a team let walk. It's just he's flat out too expensive. He has all the leverage. He knows how good he is. He can get what he wants, and that's what he did going back to the Jets yesterday. But for the most part, free agency, look at the big winners the last few years. Tennessee, Oakland, Miami, Tampa Bay. You don't win in free agency, so making big exorbitant splashes is not what you need to do. Are the Browns being strategic? They announced today again that they brought back Marlon Moore, who was part of one of the great cover teams in the NFL, along with Johnson Badamosi. The Browns were one of the best in punt coverage and kickoff coverage in large part because of Marlon Moore, so I'm happy that he's back. But again, much more of a special teamer than a wide receiver. The Browns do need to make some strategic moves. There are pieces that need to be added here, and perhaps it'll be another receiver. Perhaps it sounds like a corner. They're interested in bringing in a veteran corner, Brandon Browner, Parrish Cox, both who played very well. Cox for the Niners, and of course, Browner for the Patriots last year. I still want to see somebody on the edge, and I want to see somebody on the D-line. To me, if you can get a nose tackle, you're in pretty good shape for the Browns. But I want to know what you would have liked to have seen. I do think, again, it's early in free agency. It's only been one day, and it sounds to me, it seems like you are, a lot of people have the opinion that because they didn't do anything on the first day of free agency, that you got nothing. You're not going to do anything. I don't think that is the case for the Browns. I know they have at least one big plan out there, and hopefully that will be able to come to fruition. But to me, you don't want people, you don't want a team to go out there and just spend and spend and spend and spend. And I'm almost curious, would you rather that the Browns spend and try to go 9-7, 10-6 for a 1 or 2 year window? Or would you rather them continue to try to build the way that the Packers have done and the way that the Ravens have done and the way that good organizations build through the draft, retaining their own? If the Browns were going to retain their own, Buster Skrine was a very solid corner, but is he an A-level corner? People forget that the two A-level players who came up, the Browns have retained in Joe Haden and Alex Mack. Yep. The two guys that you had to that are clear blue chippers, cornerstones, they got it done. So you got to give them credit for that. What you want is to continue to retain your great key core talent. I think when you look at it, they're hoping to go a different direction at corner. Buster Skrine got a lot of money. I don't know that he's worth kudos to him. Hard worker, very, very good player. I think that he's a guy that certainly deserves what he got on the open market, but at the same time, you have to be judicious with what you do as an organization.
You definitely do, and you have to look at a guy like Buster Skrine. Not only did he get a good payday, you know, leaving Cleveland after his play for the last 2 years as a starter, but now, not only is he in that New York marketplace, he's going to be playing opposite Darrell Revis. So the expectations for him and the amount of work, if you thought he was getting worked opposite Joe Haden, he's going to get worked even more so opposite Darrell Revis. And that may be, in fact, why Antonio Cromartie on a 1 or 2 year deal might, you know, kind of make sense, because he's that longer, rangy, you know, cornerback who can guard, you know, the tall wide receivers in the National Football League, which Buster Skrine has struggled with throughout his career here in Cleveland.
It's and I'm just looking at my Twitter as it comes in. It's always a fun
day
here. It's great right now. So somebody says, I'm upset that the Browns have a culture and a reputation where nobody wants to come here. That's undeniable. Brian Hartline chose coming here over going to the New England Patriots. So that, to me, doesn't say that nobody wants to come here. I don't think that that's true as well. You could have done the same contract with Hoyer, Island Bum says. Yes, they didn't want Hoyer. And listen, all the Texans, the Bills, and the Browns, and the Jets, they're all there, and the Bears, their first choice in free agency was Josh McCown, and he came to the Browns. He's here. Like it or not, that's the fact.
And how many other places was Brian Hartline visiting or rumored to be interested in as well?
Four
other
teams?
Four
at the end, yes, and he came here. Now, he's from Ohio, so you could say that maybe that's what he's going to, you know, that played a big role, and I think it did. But if you listen to him, and we're going to have the opportunity to talk to him, and you can ask him, do you have a question for Brian Hoyer? Go ahead and let us know what that question is. Let us know what that question is. Go ahead. Let us know what you'd like to ask Brian Hartline about that. Why did he come here? Yesterday, he made it clear how impressed he was with Mike Pettine, John DeFilippo, and why he was very excited about, you know, coming here and being a part of this team. Dustbuster 10 says, don't spend and spend and spend, but go get some stud. We have the cap, obviously, hashtag puppets. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, I think that the Browns right now, when you look at them, free agency is great. You want to kind of lock up, I think, as Gary and Youngstown makes a good point, you want to lock up Tashaun Gibson, and I think they're working on that. I think that those – it's interesting where – the Browns are in a good place with Tashaun Gibson, though, by the way, from an organizational standpoint. You've got him on the restricted tender, so that's just $2.5 million this year. They can match any offer that's made to him, so they could let the market set itself for Tashaun Gibson if he decides to go that route. You could keep him and then franchise him next year if you were so inclined. So you've got him. Tashaun Gibson's not going anywhere for 2 years.
No, he's not.
He, you know, if he decides not to take a long-term deal right now, he's risking 32 games of staying healthy and producing at the current level and leaving a lot of guaranteed money on the table.
100%.
So right now, Tashaun Gibson's a guy who's in a very good place.
The ball's in the Browns' court when it comes to Tashaun Gibson.
Right. If they're making him a good offer, he probably would be wise to accept that. So what are you guys thinking about this? Obviously, people are angry. Gibbs, get on here for a second.
Yes?
You're angry. So what's going on, Gibbs?
Look,
I know you are.
I'm not necessarily angry. I understood that this team was probably going to be a bigger player on that second and third wave of free agency.
Which is right now.
Which is just getting
correct.
Underway.
It wasn't going to be a big first 24-hour playmaker in free agency.
Okay.
I understand that.
But then they're getting killed for that.
Well.
And they stated that clearly.
Here's my issue.
Okay.
If you had the opportunity to go get Bradford or get a Foles, and you didn't have to give up the farm, you really didn't have to give up a lot. And those guys
were
available
to
you 2 weeks ago.
You had to give up 2 seconds, basically 2 seconds for Bradford at a minimum.
Get a quarterback?
Is he guaranteed the quarterback? Is he guarantee? If he's a franchise quarterback, let me tell you something. The Rams aren't trading him. Does he seem like an upgrade over what we currently have on our roster? Yes.
Okay.
But is he for sure the answer?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know, but I'm willing to find out.
You're willing to find out. But you're
what about Nick Foles?
Are you already for sure that Johnny Manziel can't play in the NFL?
My opinion, he would have a very long way to go.
He would have a very, very long way to go.
To prove to me that he can play in the league. From what I saw, I can't guarantee it.
No, I don't think you can guarantee it at all.
And I don't – I'm not – confident enough that I don't want to go out and address that position.
To me, it is the one position that needs to be it is everything in the NFL.
Well,
that's what the Browns are hoping to solve.
So right now, and no disrespect to Josh McCown, because I think Josh McCown it seems like a good guy and he has good intentions, and clearly 2 years ago he had some amazing numbers when he played for the Bears. So obviously that potential is still there for him to have that kind of season. And last year, maybe it's just an anomaly with Tampa Bay, what went down. But I don't feel comfortable yet at that position that I have a guy that I can say is going to win 8, 9, 10 games.
I think if anything,
and put me in playoff position.
I think if we saw anything, to me, what we saw is that with average to below average quarterback play last year, this team could be 7-4.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not Brian Hoyer guy. Like, I don't want to be known as the Brian Hoyer guy.
And listen,
guy,
he
I'm
got
not,
2 years. He got 2 years with $4.75 million.
Good for
a
him
year.
Cashing in.
But he didn't really cash in. He didn't get a starter contract like everybody say he was going to go out and get this huge money and be a big starter. He got bridge money on par with Sanchez and Matt Cassel.
Okay, well, the guy still got paid.
Well, comparatively, but not really like a starting quarterback.
He still might be the starting quarterback before it's all said and done.
He could be. He'll be competing with Ryan Mallett for sure.
I feel like I'm watching what Seattle does. And, I mean, they're the defending Super Bowl champs. And they were willing to give up a big, big piece of their offense to go get a guy like Jimmy Graham, a difference maker.
And Gibbs, I'll make this point, and this is the same thing that I talked about when I talk about the NFL draft. The frustration that lies with the Cleveland Browns fans is us swinging and missing with two and everybody getting it right with one around the Cleveland Browns. And in this case, it seems like everybody's making that big move to bolster their roster for the upcoming season, and the Cleveland Browns are sitting idle.
I think that's the thought of the fan base this morning. Although, you know, a lot of I tell you, we got full phones right now, guys, and they're split.
All right.
I think people are waiting to see – okay, you said you were going to be players in free agency at some point. Well, now it's some point. So what are you doing? You know, I'm not saying you got to spend.
Brown, let's say you bring in, let's say they bring in a Parrish Cox or a Brandon Browner. Let's say they get a tight end. You know, it was reported yesterday that perhaps they would be interested in Charles Clay. We know that Buffalo is very interested in Charles Clay. Perhaps they go in that direction. Mary Kay Cabot saying they also could bring back Jordan Cameron. So you do that, you get there. I still want a nose tackle. I personally want a nose tackle. I don't want to count on, if we're going defensive, which it does seem like we're going to go, you know, I still think you need a playmaker. I think the two most important things are shoring up the run defense and getting a playmaker. And to me, multiple playmakers on offense. At the receiver position, I still want Devontae Parker. Tony Pauline yesterday writing that the Browns have been extensively working out Devontae Parker and have been very, very interested in him, making me think that hopefully it's possible that, you know, that he's there for them at 12. I would love that pick. I think that would go a long way to helping this team. The Browns do have holes. I think people who are looking at the Browns letting five starters go, you got to remember, if guys, you want to retain guys at the right price, and certain guys you're willing to break the bank for. Joe Hayden is that kind of a guy. Joe Thomas was that kind of a guy. Alex Mack was that kind of a guy. Is Buster Skrine a critical piece to a championship team?
No.
Is he a building block for your franchise?
No.
Is Jordan Cameron? Three concussions. He had the one Pro Bowl year. I don't think that when you look at these guys, it's not like the Browns are losing megastars. Now, I think Jordan Cameron still could be back, and I certainly would like to see him back. But you have to remember also in free agency, does Jordan Cameron want to be here? Does he want to be closer to his son on the West Coast? I don't know. Jordan Cameron had a very productive 2013 season. He had another injury-shortened season in 2014. So just because people are starters doesn't mean you automatically extend them. I think you have to be judicious in where you're tying up your long-term guaranteed money, and I think that's what the Browns are trying to do. Free agency is certainly not where you want to go out and spend a ton of money. The Browns need to build. I get it. I get it. They need to win. At the end of the day, you want the Browns to win. I want the Browns to win.
And frankly, I want the Browns to win now. There. I would.
You'd be in the camp that you would rather go 10-6 next year and then have a bunch of years of badness than slowly build something and then be a team that can win 10-plus games for, let's say, 5 years in a row.
But you don't know if those guys are going to – you know, I can hope. And we got a great caller that we'll get to here in just a few minutes. He's on the same boat I am. If this is the plan, fine. Stick with it. I don't want to be talking about a coach hire after next season. I don't want to have to be talking about a GM search after next season. These are the guys, you might take a step back, though.
Okay, go ahead.
If you take a step back, don't go and pull the quick trigger on him. You know, if this is the plan, let the plan play out.
Well,
don't pull the quick trigger.
That.
And
so my point is, at the same time, you have people who are calling and asking for continuity. I mean, Farmer's been here, what, a year on the job? Petten's been here just over a year. The roster got better. You won 7 games for the first time since 2007. And one day into free agency, because there wasn't some big splash, these guys are all of a sudden incompetent and lacking football acumen.
It goes back to with this fan base, it goes back to everything that has happened since the season ended. And whether that's fair or not, that's what this fan base thinks. It's everything that has just snowballed. It's been one thing after another over the last 2+ months.
So would you rather have a group of people who understand at least and are committed to their plan enough to not panic in the face of these extraneous things that you're talking about? What do you think?
Here's my problem. I want to win now because I don't know if everybody's job is secure if they don't win now.
I just think people – it's that's interesting my, that's that my people concern. Who constantly talk about continuity and needing continuity here are the people who are so quick to then turn around and just absolutely crush Ray Farmer and Mike Petten, which I think is completely unfair. That's my opinion, and I'm sure we're going to get your opinions on it. 216-578-0850. We'll be back opening up the phone lines here. Brian Hartline will be with us at 2. Should be a fun day here. And it's also Mailbag Wednesday, so if you've got questions, go ahead and get in them. And RSB97, hey, Nathan. A.K.A. Brown Spin Master. Stop painting lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. I happen to love pulled pork. Carnitas.
You moved, up from a turd to a
delicious.
Pig today. Good
I guess
job.
That's an upgrade. So
it
that's
is an
good.
Upgrade.
Excuse maker. I'm not making excuses. I'm just asking for people to have a little bit of rationality with what's going on here. So what? If the Browns went out yesterday and spent $50 million on 3 guys that they cut in 2 years, you'd be happy about that, and even though it would retard the development of the franchise? I don't know. Would you? Maybe you would. Maybe that would be fun. All right, let us know. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Now I know what I have found.